Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast. Hello, Liz.
Hello, Sarah.
I'm sweaty.
I'm Liz.
This is a chronic issue I have. I think it's like a real problem.
The sweat?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just like my face. I just schwitz all the time. Anyway, how's everyone doing? It's been a long 2 weeks without you.
Yeah, it has been a long 2 weeks. And we're in the middle of summer. And this has been a hot summer.
Hot summer. Don't get that confused with hot girl summer.
Of which it has been not. So we hope everyone is having a nice summer, that everyone is still staying safe, but per our last episode, towing the line between enjoying life and honoring our anxieties. Mm-hmm. Before Sarah and I get into our peak and pit, I want to remind everyone about BetterHelp. You all know our sponsor, BetterHelp. Or if you don't know, welcome to the podcast. BetterHelp sponsors us. If you're looking for a mental health professional to speak with virtually, BetterHelp has thousands of options and they'll help you find someone right for you. And they have given our listeners 10% off if you go to betterhelp.com/itsfine. That's betterhelp.com/itsfine for 10% off your first month of service.
Yes, ma'am.
Shall we get into peak and pit?
Let's do it. Do you want to start?
Sure. My pit is, I told everyone last time, I'm working with kids, and I just like had one kid lie to me today, like really lie, and I really didn't appreciate it, and I felt like it's so not a big deal, but I just is top of mind, and I don't like, I just have a newfound respect for teachers who really put up with a lot of crap, but relatively speaking, that's a pretty okay pit. I think my peak is I had a really nice Saturday with Chris and Chris's friend and my friend Dave. it was funny because we all went out drinking and then they came back to my apartment, and as many people know, I have a studio, and like they were talking and I just fell asleep. And there's something about like being able to nap amongst other, like when there's other people in the room, that really makes you feel like you're at home.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean?
Totally. That's like the most comfortable one can be.
Totally. Exactly. So that was a really nice feeling, like just having the gang back together. And yeah, it was a nice Saturday. How about you?
That's great. My pit is that my brother and my sister-in-law and my nieces left. They went back to South Africa. And that was really tough because I hadn't seen them since November of 2019. And we just had the most unbelievable reunion, like my whole family, inclusive of my parents. And it was just like such a lovely time together that we spent. And then they left. And it was so sad. And I was like, have a safe trip back. And I was just very sad about it. So that was definitely a pit for me. And, you know, it didn't help that it was like hot, but also rainy for the 2 weeks after. So it's not like I like had these fun sunshine days in New York. Like it's been gloomy. So yeah. I've just been sad also because, you know, the weather when it's gloomy, it doesn't help. But my peak, I'm trying to think of a specific peak that I've had over the last few weeks. I think in general, I've become really close with these girls from the Jewish community that I frequent on the Upper East Side. And there's not like one specific peak, but I mean, I guess this is kind of a peak, but on Saturday afternoon, like, so a few of us like keep Shabbat, we don't turn our phone on, whatever. So my friend Aviva lives on the first floor, and like she invited people over for Saturday afternoon, and the only way that they could get up was by yelling her name.
Oh, that is funny.
We didn't know if anyone was going to come over, but like every 20 minutes we heard Aviva, and we would like look outside the window and they were like, let me up. And it happened like a couple times, and people ended up coming, and we had just like a good group of girls, and we just like hung out. And so in general, I think like I really thrive off of social situations and making new friends, even though I love my friends so much. It's like really fun for me to engage with new people and learn from new people. And that specific moment was funny because I was like, where am I? Like, what am I doing?
That is like the old country, truly.
Yeah. They're like, Aviva. I looked outside. I was like, you're here.
I wonder what people do who live in like high-rise buildings. That's a conversation for another day.
Well, like, I was invited to a lunch a couple weeks ago and they lived in a high rise building and they were just like, everyone come over at 2.
Right.
So like, you can't like probably stop by, but
no. But like, what do they do about the, how do you do elevator?
Oh yeah, we took the stairs.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's like the time my dad used to live on the 26th floor of his building in Philadelphia, and he would like, he's a Jewish father, so he would like have us do fire drills and like make us walk up and down. I didn't know understand why we were going back up. I was like, we're only going down if there's a
yeah,
fire.
Yeah.
But you know, prepare me for moments like that. That's funny.
Wow, that's nice. It's like good prep.
I guess so. It's also weird. I know Alana Paris told us that her dad did that once, and she lived on the 36th floor of her building. But okay. I don't think she walked back up, but she was like, he was like, you need to practice walking downstairs. And she was like, why do I need to practice walking downstairs? Right. Like, right. That makes no sense.
Also, the high rise, quote unquote, that I went to a couple weeks ago, it was like, we went to the 7th floor.
Oh, okay. That's
if
like
they lived
reasonable.
On like 12 or 13. First of all, I'm sure they take it into account when they move in.
Right.
Like, don't put us too high.
Right. You know? That's so true.
Yeah.
An interesting like real estate note. And maybe it helps them because then it's like they're, this is like now a conversation about the halacha, but like, this is like, maybe they also save money by doing that because, you know, a lot of people want to live on higher floor. Who knows? Not to like read into the stereotypes. But, right. Anyway, so today on the podcast, we are having a repeat who, like, I don't think we've ever done a repeat except for me and you, right? A repeat guest.
I don't think so.
Maybe like Alana Paris has spoken in the background a couple of times.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
We've never had a... So I'll let you talk about Alana Dunn because
okay. You
know her best.
So... Okay, we it's a repeat, but she was on our like 5th episode.
Oh no, I just mean
for sure. So Alana Dunn, which many of you probably know, if you don't know who she is a great gal. I've known her since I was 12. We became internet friends when we were 12, and then we became our IRL friends, in real life friends, at a Jonas Brothers concert in 2010. We met on a Jonas Brothers website, by the way. And then we became college roommates in 2012. And we stayed best friends over the years. We've lived together. We moved to New York City together after college. And we are still very close to this day. And Liz is friends with her.
Mm-hmm.
And Alana's great. She has an insane amount of knowledge about dating. And she, you know what? It's funny because she always has. Like, she's always been the girl who we were like, tell us about, I don't know, give us dating tips, or like she would talk about boys or whatever. Like she always liked talking about dating. And then coincidentally, she got a job at Hinge to be their, like the face of Hinge for a while. And then recently she actually left Hinge and now she works on her own. She does freelance social media and she helps people with their brands and their marketing. And she still talks about dating on her own time. And she kind of has turned that into, It is a job for her because she has a podcast called Seeing Other People and she made it on her own. And, you know, she just like has great insight. And, you know, we are going to speak to her today about the podcast, how she's turned, not only has she turned a job into a freelance career and what that's been like for her mental health, but also the mental health perspective in dating and, you know, she's actually newly in a relationship, so would love to hear how she incorporates mental health in her new relationship. So lots to get from her today.
I was also going to say she made like her like Hinge going from Hinge into freelance, but I was also going to say she really is one of those people who turned like lemons into lemonade, I think, because I think Alana has been really open with like struggling with dating.
Totally.
And in having those struggles, she's been really like she's able to make content that people can relate to.
Totally.
And I think also what I like about Alana a lot is that she is in a relationship now and her content like hasn't really changed. Like she still talks about, or she now talks about how she has a significant other, but she's still very much like, she's not one of those people who's ditching her audience because like her life changed. And I think that shows a lot, like that shows skill because she's able to kind of still relate to people who might not be in her situation. And I think, while it's great to have on people who are still who are dating, I think it's also great to hear from someone who's like in a new relationship. I think we don't get that perspective too frequently. So I'm interested to hear how she's like managing that and talk about the mental health of dating.
Totally agree. And something that she's been really, really great at, which is something that we try and do with our podcast, is she has really created her own community and she engages with the people who follow her all the time. So And she also comes from the perspective of like, I'm not an expert in dating, but here's what I'm going through. And people ask her questions, and she's really created a community where people engage with her and ask her questions, and she responds, and they kind of learn together. And so it's like a two-way street. And so that's been really, really cool to see. And she started it at Hinge, and it's continued on after Hinge. So yeah, excited to speak with her, and we hope you enjoy the episode.
Enjoy.
Welcome to the pod, Alana Dunn, the Hey, It's Alana girl.
How you doing? Hey guys, it's Alana, and welcome to It's Fine, I'm Fine. I'll shut up now.
No, I mean, please talk. You're the guest.
How's it going?
Great. Fabulous. We are excited to talk about dating with you.
Mm-hmm. I am also excited to talk about dating with you.
Oh my God, this is so funny. Like, you are, I feel like you're one of those guests that like people try and get on their podcast, and we landed Alana.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
It's a really big deal, you guys.
No, this is like a big deal. And honestly, someone liked me on Hinge and said, I listened to you on Seeing Other People's Podcast.
Oh, that's funny.
And I was like,
deep cut. Yeah. That's really funny.
I forget sometimes that like people listen to these things.
Do you like feel starstruck right now? Like, are you guys okay?
No.
No.
I think I'm nervous. Although I've gotten better at talking to celebrities over the past couple of years, so I think mm-hmm. I'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. I feel that.
Alana, tell us a little bit about where you're at currently. We gave you a little bit of an intro and talked about how you were at Hinge. You're not at Hinge anymore. So tell us what you're doing now.
Yeah. So I have not worked at Hinge since last November 2020. So mid-pandemic. And now I'm actually on my own. I decided that I did not want to go to another company. I really wanted to take a little time to see what would happen if I just fully took creative freedom over the things I wanted to do and to see if I could actually like make a living off of it. And so I have been doing the podcast, and I also freelance as a social media manager, content creator. I produce another podcast, and yeah, that's pretty much what I've been doing. And I'm really happy with it.
That's great.
I'm jealous.
You achieved something us and none of our listeners have. No, I'm just totally. Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, hold on. I'm happy with what I'm doing. Like, I'm happy with the choice I made. Am I like happy? No, I'm a fucking mess, but.
Totally. So can you walk us through how you got into the dating world? And what made you decide to
like professionally?
Yeah, professionally. Right. I mean, like, listen, if you want to talk about your personal dating world too, but I mean, we'll get to that. But how did you get into the professional dating world, and what inspired you to continue that after you left Hinge?
Yeah. So I never actually planned on being in the dating world. I was fully in the music industry prior to working at Hinge. And I was kind of one of those people where like, I thought I knew exactly what I wanted to do with my career. And I thought I knew exactly who I was. And I really did like immerse myself in the music industry for a few years and a few years out of it while I was in college and after college. And I kind of realized it was a really unhealthy industry for me to be in. It consumed my life completely. I was so unhappy. I like lost my passion for music, and I didn't even listen to music anymore. And for me, like, that was crazy. And that was something where I was like, I need to get so far away from this industry and do something completely different. But I also need to use the skills that I have and the things that like I have on my resume to do whatever next thing, because I need to get someone to hire me. And to be honest, I was like super lost and confused, and I applied to a million different jobs in so many different industries, so many different types of jobs. Like, I was just desperate to get out, and I wanted to freelance. And my parents were like, you're not ready to, like, you don't, like, what would you even do? How would you get clients? Like, you'd have to pay for your own health insurance, like on top of everything else. And I kind of resented them for like almost holding me back from it, but they were so right. I was not at all ready to. And yeah, I was applying to jobs for months, and because I wasn't going to leave my job where I was at Sony Music until I got a new job, just because I know how hard it is to get a job in general. And not that I was making much money, but like, got to pay rent, got to eat food. And I ended up, my cousin worked at Fuck Jerry at the time, and Fuck Jerry teamed up with Hinge for content stuff. And so he heard that they were hiring for a video and content producer. And he knew I was like deep in the job search, and he was like, holy shit, this job is perfect for you. And I looked at the description and I was like, whoa, like, yes, I can do all of these things. But the thing about it was I didn't realize how much of the job was actually going to be like on camera, being a spokesperson for the brand, even though the description was literally like the face of Hinge on social media. And I applied. I like made my resume super creative. I made like all these like videos for them. And I basically convinced them like, yeah, I know how to be on camera. I've done it a million times. I'd only done it three times in my life. I interviewed three people. And I got the job. And I got there and they were like, okay, you're here, go do. And I was like, wait, what?
Wow.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, like contemporaneously with you being hired, had you been using Hinge or did you not really start? Like, I kind of want to know A, what year, like what time you were hired and how that like aligned with the kind of uptick in Hinge. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it's popularity. So walk me through that timeline.
So this was 2018, I believe, like fall 2018. It was not the Friends of Friends app anymore, but it was the dating app that I personally used the most. Like I had been on Bumble and I had been on like, I was using like JSwipe and The League and like any dating app I had tried. Like I had tried Tinder in college.
Because we lived together. Yes. We were like trying them all out.
Mm-hmm. And somehow I had never been on a date from any other dating app besides Hinge.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, like it just never happened. And so I was very familiar with Hinge. I was in New York City dating. I had a lot of terrible dating experiences. And I also felt like I was kind of the friend where like any of my friends, like if they had like dating shit to talk about, they would come to me and talk to me about it. And like, not to say like by no means in the world would I have ever called myself a dating expert. And I still don't call myself a dating expert because I'm not that. I'm just a person who has experienced a lot of things, heard a lot of things and had conversations with a lot of people about a lot of different situations. So I got there and my role was kind of just to create content that would help people through their whatever was going on in their dating lives.
Were you prepared to speak about your personal life? Like, did you start
speaking Absolutely
about,
not.
Like, did you start speaking about your personal life off the bat? Or was that something like, as you were figuring out the job, you were like, this would be a good idea?
No. So I actually kind of made a rule for myself. Like I got there and I was figuring out like, okay, they want me to be this like on-camera persona. They want me to talk about dating. Like, and I know I could get so far ahead in my career so much faster if I am totally open and raw about my dating life. But I don't think that's going to get me far in my personal life. Yeah. And I wouldn't like, I knew there were people and I'm not going to name names, but I know there are people who do something like similar to me, both like when I was at Hinge and now in the podcasting world, like who will tell every single detail about the date they went on or a guy they slept with or something. And like, I made a rule for myself on day one and I communicated this to them. I would never want to be in a position where somebody wouldn't want to date me because of my job.
Yeah.
Right. That's such a good call.
Also, like once you put something out there, you can never take it back.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
So I knew that that was like an absolute no for me. And as I went on, what started to happen was I would sometimes open up like very little bits and I would obviously like not put anyone on blast or like name names or anything, but I would say like, I went through this experience. This is how it felt. This is how it impacted me. This is how I got through it. And anytime I did that, I noticed that people really responded to it. And we're like, wow, thank you for sharing that. That made me feel so much less alone. Or I'm going through that right now. And it makes me feel so hopeful to see that you are on the other side of it. And so as I started doing that, I was like, wow, like if I'm actually open and honest about like the shit that I've been through in my dating life and how hard it is and how much it's impacted my mental health and how it like any bad experience I've had in dating, like my dating life and my relationships are what has caused me like anxiety and depression and why I like was and still am on medication and stuff. And so it was like, as weird as it was to talk about it and as much as I like didn't want to admit to the world, like, hey, I struggled and I'm struggling. The more I did, the more it helped people.
Ironically, we're doing very similar things. We just happen to lean into mental health and you just happen to lean into dating.
Definitely.
But at the end of the day, I think the reason why, I mean, not to toot our own horns too, but like we're kind of trailblazers because it's really hard to be vulnerable.
Yeah, I agree.
And the more vulnerable you are, the scarier it is for you, but the more rewarding it is for other people because then other people feel less alone.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I mean, you did a really great thing, even though it must have been really hard. And I was also there with you experiencing, like, you know, you talking about some of your dating things and some people that respond, whatever. Like, I saw that it was tough at times.
It's tough. Understatement of the century. Yeah. Tough.
No, I was just going to say, we had talked on our last episode about how, like, my mental health was poor when we were recording that episode. And I was like, it's fine. No one wants to hear from, like, someone whose mental health is perfect. And I feel like at the same, like, and this is going to lead into a question, because I feel like people really, not that other people want to see people suffer, but it's easier to relate to someone when they're, like, going through something and you're like, oh, I really connect to that. And so that leads me into my next question, which is, if you're okay talking about it, like, I know that you are in a relationship now, and how that sort of impacted A, like, your personal mental health, which I hope it's great, and B, like, how it's impacted the content you make.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are both really great questions. So for the first one, how it's impacted my mental health, I think my boyfriend Jake and I, like, this is the first healthy relationship that I've ever experienced in my life. And I think as much as it sucks to struggle and to feel like I was at rock bottom so many times, what I ended up doing, like, through talking about those experiences and reflecting on them and kind of having also, like, the year alone, like, with myself and my thoughts and feeling lonely during quarantine, I learned so much. And I really took the time to think about, like, what doesn't work for me and what do I need and what things should I try and avoid and what mistakes can I, like, actually, like, what do I have control over, you know? And so I think with Jake, like, I think it was partially timing, where I had really just, like, took the time to learn myself and to figure out what I needed. And partially that, like, I stopped going for people who would not work for me. And I found someone who would. And the interesting part is, when I met him, I was also going on dates with somebody else. And I thought I really liked the other guy, mm-hmm. and not Jake. And the thing is, I was so anxious about this other guy. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know if he wants to see me again. Like, I think the date was great, but what if he doesn't think so? Like, okay, like, I'm going away for this number of days and then he's going away for that number of days. So, like, what happens if, like, the plans don't align and it just, like, doesn't work out? Like, I don't know. And Jonah, who was my podcast co-host at the time, was listening to me talk about this, and he was like, Alana, do you even like that guy?
Yeah.
Or do you just want to know if he likes you? And I'm like, well, of course I want to know if he likes me. Like, why would I not want to know if he likes me? And he's like, no, you're not listening. Like, do you like him? And I was like, yeah.
I asked the same question when you were seeing him. I was like, you like him?
And I, like, couldn't even say yes with, like, a straight answer. And you and Jonah doing that, like, kind of was a wake-up call.
I just gave myself credit. I mean, you're like, it was Jonah, but I think I was a part of it too.
I think it was, like, Jonah that asked it to me first, which... No, I don't know.
It's fine. Anywho. It's okay if it was Jonah. I was your co-host. You guys talked about dating, like, every single day. I was a friend that you didn't want to hear from, because I was like...
Probably.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other thing we can talk about. Yeah. But yeah. And so I was like, he and I, like, ended things. He actually called it off. And, like, I was like, I felt fine when he did. I was like, you know what? Like, I think Jake's actually, like, a better guy and better for me, because I'm not anxious and he's being straightforward and he is communicating and not leaving me guessing or feeling self-conscious or anxious about anything. But it really wasn't until our third date where I was like, okay, I'm into this guy. And I mean, overall in general, like, I feel so comfortable with him. I feel so myself with him. And it's been a really eye-opening experience to be like, wow, like, this is what a healthy relationship is like. And I can be in a relationship that doesn't make me feel like absolute shit about myself. And unfortunately, that's a new experience for me. But overall, like, everything's been really great. And I feel really lucky. But I also feel like I did the work, you know? Mm-hmm. And Sarah, I know you and I talked about this when you were on Seeing Other People recently, where it's like, you've done all the work to figure out what you need and what you value and like, what's important and what works and what doesn't work mm-hmm. for you. And I think that's just something that's so important that we need to do, so that when we do meet a person who has those things and could actually be a fit, like, we can have that healthy relationship and make it work, you know?
Totally. One thing I would love to touch on is when you were doing the work and when you were exploring things about yourself, did you find it difficult to provide kind of like advice for other people? Because I know a lot of what you've been doing over the last few years is creating a community and helping people, giving them dating tips. Like your TikTok is full of like, if they make you anxious, don't text you back. But, you know, as your friend, I know that we would both be dating people who made us anxious and weren't texting us back.
Yeah.
It's like the same. I would comment on your TikToks being like, are you listening to your own advice right now?
No, 100%. Well, that's the thing. It's like I would notice myself saying these things and I'd be like, oh, if only I could like date someone who didn't make me anxious. And then I would make that TikTok. It's like I would pull these things out of like my own struggles and issues and be like, okay, Alana, like you're doing this wrong. And you know, like you're doing this wrong. Everyone else is probably also doing it. So just like tell them, like give them a little nudge and then like maybe you'll give yourself a little nudge too. And I mean, it really is funny. Like all of the content either is like inspired by my shit or like friends' shit that they go through.
Yeah.
I do want to answer Liz's question from before though, that second question, which is how being in a relationship has impacted kind of like the content. And yeah, so that's something I was afraid of. And it was something I was like nervous about even when I was at Hinge. I remember maybe like 6 months into being at Hinge, I started to think I was getting into a relationship with someone. And I literally asked my boss, I was like, am I allowed to be in a relationship? Like I wasn't sure. I straight up wasn't sure because my brand was like being the single dating girl.
Right.
And the same thing happened with seeing other people where like the first few months, my brand was again like being the person who was like going on dates and struggling and failing and all that stuff. And so I was a little nervous and I actually really tried to not talk about him. And he would listen to all the episodes and be like, why don't you talk about me at all? Like you never talk about me. And I'm like, well, like it's not about me or you, it's about them. And it's like, no. And what I realized and I started talking about him and about the steps that we were going through and how things were unfolding, like the exclusive talk and the relationship talk and meeting the parents and stuff. And the response I ended up getting was very actually surprising to me. And maybe it's not surprising to people listening, but for me, I was kind of shocked where people were reaching out being like, seeing you in a happy and healthy relationship gives me hope after hearing everything you've been through and knowing that I've been through some of the same things as you, like seeing you two and hearing about your relationship makes me feel like if you can do it, so can I.
Wow, that's really lovely. Yeah. I hope people feel that way about when we have like breakthroughs in therapy.
I have gotten some really nice messages. Like I got a message like maybe a month ago and they were like, I just feel like you're way like healthier than you ever were. And I was like, that is the nicest compliment, like way more than like, I like your outfit, but just like, you seem so happy. And that, and I similarly posted something about Chris, like, I don't know, a week ago. And people on my Instagram know who he is, but I don't ever like talk about like our like personal dynamic. And I posted it being like, I know that a lot of people are going to hate this because I always go on TikTok and see people commenting on couples being like, haha, like unfollow. Like you're so cute. Blocked.
Which
is really funny, but I do, it really reminded me that this like self-deprecation that I have for, because I'm mindful of people who aren't in relationships, is actually kind of like reinforcing this toxic thing of like, no, like when you get a good man, it's the exception, which isn't actually true. Like, don't get me wrong. I know that dating is really hard. I know that like finding men is really hard, but I don't want to like reinforce this idea that it's like, it's not possible. And so when it happens to one person, it's like, oops, sorry, one more like of the 10 men off the market. It's actually like really nice for people to, you know, if people are able to like open their eyes to it, I think it's good to show that. And I think there needs to be less of a stigma around people like Sarah, like if you're a person who's healthy, like whenever I talk to Sarah about like my relationship or something that's going on for me that might not be going on for you, like you're really supportive and encouraging. And I think reinforcing this idea that like friends always have to be like nasty when their friends like have good things happen to them is bad. And like you shouldn't encourage it.
Yeah. Totally.
Well, one thing that you said I think is really important and I think is kind of like the main thing that we're getting across is that like when you see somebody who you know has struggled, who has opened up about their struggles, and you see them being happy or accomplishing that thing that they wanted, that's when we feel really good. That's when we feel like proud of them and excited for them and happy for them. And I think the problem is that like with social media, especially, most people don't open up and aren't vulnerable about how they're feeling. And we've all been there where we're having the worst day and we're crying, and maybe it's a Sunday and we have like post drinking depression and we're miserable, and we're posting like a picture as if we're the happiest people on the planet. And so I think that's what's tough, is that most people end up not showing what's really happening. And so they just show like they're happy, they're with their friends, they're going on vacation, they got that promotion, now they have that boyfriend, now they got this new job, now they got this new apartment. And that's when it gets tough, because that's what we're seeing everywhere.
Right. And something that we spoke about on my episode of Seeing Other People is that, you know, people can get in their heads about if they don't have significant others, like they don't have anything going on, or like they see other people with significant others and they think that they have it all together. And I'm very guilty of thinking that people in relationships like have everything. And I'm like, wow, they like have it all figured out. And it's just being mind. I mean, I think it's helpful to know, and you being open about your experiences has made it very clear for people that like relationships ebb and flow. First of all, dating ebb and flows, like doesn't mean that once you, and I'm not, I really like obviously support you and Jake and I want you guys to end up together, but like it doesn't mean that person has everything and everything's perfect all the time. Like your content just does, you, it's not like your content ends here and you're like, okay, now relationship, nothing right. else to talk about. Like
right. just well, also, it's not
a completely new journey.
And it's one part of your life. Like I was on a long drive, like a 3-hour long drive with Jake this morning. And I literally like, we're at a stop sign or a stoplight. And I looked at him and I was like, since you met me, my mom was in the hospital. My dad was diagnosed with cancer and my dog died.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy, like this has been one of the hardest years of my life.
Yeah.
And yes, I finally like am in a relationship that I've always wanted and the relationship is great, but like, I'm more stressed than I've ever been, even though like my work is great. I'm way overloaded. Like my family is not healthy. Like my parents are selling my childhood home. Like I've been not great, you know? And so it's tough because we all look and see like, well, that person has that one thing that I want. And because they have that one thing, like they're doing great and they're perfect and they're happy and I suck because I don't have that. And nobody's ever doing that amazing. And if they are, great. But here's the reality is that it's not going to last forever.
Right.
And hopefully we'll all have moments where we're like, wow, everything is so great, because we all deserve that. And we've all worked for it. And it's just, you have to remember that everyone has shit going on. Everyone.
That's the clip.
Yeah.
That's the bite. Well, first of all, I'm sorry that it's been so tough and that you're going through all of that. Like, obviously, as your friend, it pains me too. But just like hearing you talk about it, it's so evident that it, because I am very, very guilty of thinking those in relationships have everything that I want and that their lives are, even if everything isn't perfect, I'm like, they're still ahead of me. Like, yeah. I obviously don't want you to be going through these things, but even just you saying that is kind of a reality check for me, because I'm like, everyone has things going on and like life is life. And just because you have someone next to you to support you doesn't mean like I don't like have people right. supporting me through what I'm going through. And
it just might not be somebody that you make out with consistently.
Right, right, right. And like, that doesn't mean that like, yeah, 100%. And I think that like what we always stress is that you're helping people just by talking about these things, because being, as I said earlier, being vulnerable is super hard and you're doing it. And so it's greatly appreciated, not just by us, but people who are listening to you. So, I mean, I hope you realize like you're making a difference and we thank you for that.
No, thank you. And I mean, like you said, like being guilty of thinking that everyone who's in a relationship like has it all, like that's how I've always felt too. Yeah. And sometimes
that's
I'm like,
friends.
Sometimes I'm like, shit, like if I could flip a switch and not have had these things happen, but go back and like switch it so that like the one thing that I wanted, I didn't have, but I still had like those things were reversed or like whatever, you know what I mean? Like, would I? And it's like, that's the hardest thing in the world to ask myself, you know, because it's just, it's so, I don't even know.
Yeah.
You know what I
yeah.
mean?
Can I ask like how you, and I don't want to open up like difficult things, but I think that's what this podcast is. Like, how have you been like talking to yourself about this relationship? Because obviously like It Takes Two and Jake is like so different than people you've dated before, but how are you kind of processing this? So you're like, the things I've learned from the last relationships and like maybe the things I did wrong or the things, the way that I was thinking, like, how are you kind of mentally checking yourself to be like, I want this to be the relationship that works and this is how I'm keeping it healthy? Does that question make sense?
Yeah. And I think the answer is actually a lot more simple than we would think. And it's really just like open communication. And it's been that way kind of the whole way through. And I think that's one of the things where in the past I struggled with, like, not knowing what somebody's intentions were or our intentions being misaligned and them not knowing what I was thinking and me not knowing what they were thinking. And from the beginning, it was like over communication. And that is something that I realized, like, I really, really need. And it's like, we haven't gotten into fights yet. Like, we'll say what are we ever going to fight about? Like, of course we're probably going to fight. Like, obviously I wish we wouldn't, but like realistically we're going to fight, but we don't even know what it would be about because like, we're just so open with each other about how we're feeling. And if we're having like a shitty day and what we need. And like, if we have plans and like, obviously the last like few weeks have been really hard with my dog Zoe passing. And so like we've had plans and I'm like, I just need to like sit on my couch alone and cry. And he's like, are you sure? Like, I can come there. Like, we can do this, that, whatever. And I'm like, this is what I need right now. And so I think it's really communicating, like, this is, like I said, this is what I need. And I think it's really cool that I've like gotten to a point where I know what I need, you know? And I also know, like, if I do something where in the past it would have pushed someone away, like if I'm not like my entire like whole self, then I will never know if this is something that can really work, you know? So it's like, if I was afraid to say something, I'm like, no, just like say it, because if like this is a relationship that's going to work, then you'll either talk through it or like you won't have to because he'll be receptive to it and stuff. So I think it's just kind of understanding, like taking the pressure off of like, it's not what you say and what you don't say and how you react and stuff. It's just like being like, I have to be myself. And if it works, then great. That's a relationship that is going to last, you know?
Mm-hmm, totally. I think that something that maybe you did touch on this, but I want to reiterate just from being your friend and seeing it happen is like, there was also so much self-awareness happening from your end. Like, I just saw you at the beginning of dating Jake, you were constantly asking yourself, like, why don't I feel anxious? Why does this feel different? And like, you were like, is this right? Is this? And I think that takes a lot of self-awareness. I think that you were very conscious of what was different from your previous relationships. And you were like, before I jump into this, like, how is this making me feel? How do I want to approach this? And I just like watched the growth come into play. And I think that Jake is someone who, like, not to underestimate the hard work that you've put in, but also Jake just happens to be someone who came across your profile who like isn't your usual type. And he's just really great. And he is mm-hmm. open and he's communicative. And at first I remember that was like different for you because you weren't the guys like that. And you were like, should I be going for someone like this? But I think that you very openly like learned, you reflected on your past and you were like, okay, this is different. And while it doesn't feel right automatically because you're so used to something that maybe isn't the best for you, you were like yes. very consciously looking at it being like, this seems like it would work for me, even though in my gut, it's not making me anxious, which sends a signal to my brain that something's off. But you were like, mm-hmm. that feels like it could be right. So then I watched yeah. you go for it. And like, I feel like, did that just make sense?
Everything yeah, I said, it
did. Yes. Okay. Well, I remember constantly texting you being like, something should go wrong by yeah. now. Or like, I don't understand, like, why does somebody want to like keep spending their time yeah. with me? Like, I don't get it. Like, usually I have to like almost like beg and like make myself so available on their schedule and like all of these things that it was just different where, and like, he just made it really easy. And yeah, that was just really new and different for me. And I know we all love to talk about Logan Urie's book, but there's something in it where she says that with her dating coaching clients, when she hears that they're talking about dating somebody where the experience is different, where maybe they're not their usual type or they like physically or with like what they do for work, or it's just it feels different. That's when she thinks it's going to work because it means they've broken a bad habit.
Mm-hmm. I feel like through the book and also through watching you, I've been trying to take this into my own dating world because I am also like you and I tend to be attracted to people who make me anxious, but that's a whole different story for a whole different day. But like in the last year that I've been dating, I try and take these signals of like if they're not causing me anxiety because my brain's telling me you don't like them. I'm like, go for it. Go on another date. Keep seeing them because they're not making you anxious. So something must be different from everyone you've tried out before and you're still single. So you might as well go for the different thing.
That's got to be another clip because that's perfect. Like that's so, so true.
I think also Sarah has been exploring this new like habit of when someone doesn't make you anxious, you're like, let me give it another try. Yeah. And you also at the same time have been like, that doesn't mean like people could easily be like, oh, he doesn't make me anxious. He must be the one. And like you've been like, no, that's also not the formula for the perfect person. It's like, but I think dating is probably like you don't ever attain like one perfect thing. You kind of grow as you go, as Ben Platt would say. And but like you actually take one piece of advice and you learn, and then like you got to that level. So now you're taking the next piece of advice, which is like, okay, maybe he doesn't make me anxious, but like maybe he really annoys me. Like next level. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's, I'm glad you pointed that out because that's one thing that I've tried to kind of train myself to do. Like we've talked about, like I've had a lot of really bad dating experiences in the past. And for a while that made me feel like, wow, like what is wrong with me? Like everyone else can end up in a relationship. Like everyone else is finding people and I keep having these like terrible, heartbreaking experiences. And I remember after my last breakup, I went out to get coffee with somebody who had been a coworker and she worked for a different company, but we just like met up to catch up. She wanted to see how I was doing. And she said something to me that like I had never somehow heard anyone say before. And it was that as long as you can walk away from this experience and know what you learned from it, it's not a failure. Because I said to her, I'm like, I don't understand like why like this relationship was just like, I thought it was going to be great and it was a complete failure. And she's like, well, have you figured out what you learned from it yet? And I'm like, no. And she goes, well, you're not going to feel better until you do. Mm. And that has stuck with me. It's been like 2.5 years. And I think that's so important and doesn't even have to be a relationship. It can be just like one date or one conversation that didn't even turn into a date or a video chat date where you can say like, this didn't work and here is why. Mm-hmm. And like maybe because of this thing that they said that reflected what their values were or how if they were like rude to the wait staff or if they showed up like 20 minutes late and didn't really give an excuse and they acted like it was nothing or they made you feel uncomfortable about something or you didn't like something about the way you presented yourself in it. Like it's not about, it doesn't have to be specifically about them. It could also be about how you showed up to the date. And I think the more we can do that and think about dating and anything in life really as like trial and error and learning, like you're learning on the go. You're collecting all of these pieces of information as you go. I think we'll all end up feeling A, so much better about ourselves and about the process that we're going through. And B, we'll ultimately end up more successful because we are doing the work to reflect and to figure out what we need.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Something I wanted to like pivot slightly from dating and touch a little bit more on mental health is because, you know, we are a mental health podcast. But we're not experts. But yeah, I know. Surprise, Jack. So you are someone who over the last 4 years, I don't know, have been on camera primarily like for your career, your job, like you're always, you know, you're just like always like showing yourself to people. And you kind of have to like wear your heart on your sleeve. But how has it been? Like, how have you managed to take care of yourself through all of that? Do you find it difficult some days when you're really having a tough day to like get up, get on camera and speak? And like, how do you motivate yourself to keep going through that?
Absolutely. It's really tough. And there are days where I'm like, this is the last thing I want to do in the world. But I know, I think about like every other time that I've done it. And I'm like, I know I'll be happy if I do it, at least if it's just like getting it over with. Like usually I don't just like get like turn on the camera, get on a mic and start talking. Like I've thought already about what I'm going to talk about or what topic I want to cover or who I want to reach out to. And so it's like, I know I like I've already it's either when it comes to recording, it's like I've done the prep work and I know I will feel better if I do it. And sometimes like right now, like I just got out of the shower. I'm not wearing makeup. Like I'm like also sweating because it's 84 degrees in here. But I like felt okay to do that today, where sometimes I'm like, no, like I'll feel good if I like put on music, put on makeup, put on a good outfit, like dance around my room a little bit. Like that will just kind of be like my self-care for today, is getting myself into that better mindset to do this. And then I'll do it and then it will be over. And on the flip side of that, there are some days where I wake up and I'm like, I literally can't do this. And I will cancel my recordings. Like if I'm not, I know myself to a point where like, if I'm not in a state of mind, like, hey, like I don't know how I'm going to get through it. Like I might like break down, or I might just like literally not want to get out of bed to do it. And I think I've come to realize like, I just need to be honest with like somebody and like, and just email them and say like, I'm having a really bad day and I want to be in the right mindset for this so that it comes out great. I'm so sorry to do this, but can we reschedule? And I've done that more times than I can count. And to be honest, nobody's ever been like, that's not okay. Like, what do you mean? Like, we had this booked. Everyone's so understanding and they're like, of course. And they're also glad that I said like, I want to be in the right mindset so that this can be great, this thing that we're doing together. And so I think really just trying to like put your mental health first. And obviously like in some jobs, like you can't always do that. You can't not show up to the meeting, whatever. And that sucks because it's like, oh, if you're throwing up, you can not show up to the meeting because like you're sick with a stomach bug. But if you're having a bad day and you feel really depressed and you can't get out of bed, like that's not like an acceptable excuse at this point in society, which really sucks. And I think people and companies have done a little work and are getting there. But I think sometimes you just have to like, you just have to bite the bullet and be like, I'm really sick right now. I can't come to work today. And like, it's funny because we kind of forget, like we don't really do sick days anymore this past year. Right. Like, well, you can like, you can sit in bed and work anyway. You can do it from your computer. You can have your camera off in the Zoom. But remember that like sick days are a thing and you're allowed to say, I don't feel well. And you don't have to give context as to what's going on. Right. And I just think that that's really important because like, we can't work ourselves to tears when we're already not feeling well. And our work isn't going to come out well either.
So true.
I think also as we all start to get into, I don't want to say positions of power because that sounds like crazy, but it's true. Like as we get a little bit older and we start to supervise people, like we are able to cultivate that environment of saying like, if you're having a bad mental health day, like you shouldn't be here. And of course there's like, you don't want people to abuse that. I know some people would certainly abuse it, but like Alana Paris, for instance, just started at a company where like once she works there for a certain amount of time, she can take mental health days, which I think is like, it really just creates a way better working environment for everyone. And I recognize that like, law firms and banks like don't want to do that. But I've heard also how many people are just quitting those jobs, like left and right. Like the quitting rate is at its highest since I don't really know when, but like you'd imagine that it would be the opposite because so many people were having trouble finding jobs during like the height of COVID. And I think cultivating that type of environment, even if it's like with your friends, and I'm not advocating for people to flake on their friends, but even if you're saying like, I'm having a terrible day, like I don't really want to talk, or even when you were talking about talking to Jake, like I am having a really tough time and I kind of just want to sit on my couch and cry. Like, I think that being open about that will leave room for you to like have that bad day and get through it. But also like if Jake ever feels that way, he can now feel confident enough to be like, I can't do this today because I'm having a bad time, you know?
1,000,000%. And I love that you kind of turned it to be like, it not just with work, but with any type of person, whether like friends, a date, like whatever it is. And I've noticed that happening more and more. And I know like we're always, for some reason, we always feel such guilt about canceling plans with our friends. We're like, oh my God, they're going to hate me. And we text them being like, please don't hate me. Like, don't kill me. But like, Sarah, you texted me earlier asking if we could reschedule something. Obviously it was like, it's 2 weeks in advance and it's not about like mental health, but like, I know we cancel on each other all the time because we're just not feeling it. Or like we know we just want to sit on the couch and like have it be our couch and be in our pajamas and not have to talk to anyone. And I think like that's something that the more you say to your friends, like, I'm not feeling up to this. Like, I just need the night to myself, rather than being like, don't kill me, but like, can we reschedule? The more they'll be receptive to it. And then, like you said, it gives them space. And I think that's just vulnerability in general and being open about your feelings. Because the more you do that, the stronger your connections will be.
Totally. And I keep saying totally. I also think that I love the way our relationship works because we go, you know, periods of time without seeing each other. That part I don't love, but I think that we're really good at communicating. Like, I just need a day, or you'll openly text me and be like, I know we were supposed to hang out today, but all I want to do is sit on my couch and watch a movie. If you want to come join me, you can. This is where I'll be. And like, sometimes I'm just like, I don't feel like doing that. And then we just don't hang out. And it's great.
And
it's totally fine. Yeah. And I think that like that level of open communication is so amazing, because when we say that to one another, we're never questioning like, oh, does she not want to see me? It's like, there's a level of understanding that like, because we're so open and honest so frequently, we know that it has nothing to do with each other. It's always like a personal need. And once you have an understanding that this person is just saying something because they need it for themselves, you can like respect that person. Whereas like I used to say, and I still do, if I like think I'm going to upset someone or hurt someone, I'm like, oh my gosh, sorry, sorry, don't kill me. Like, I'm so guilty of that. But the times that I'm more confident in saying, I just need this, like, I'm not feeling up to it, like, people typically respect me more when stand strong in me just saying, I just need this day. Like, I love you. This isn't about you. I'll see you soon. You know?
Yes. You and I are especially guilty of thinking something's about us when it's not. Yeah. Like, that's the thing, is like, we're all humans. We're all struggling. We're all dealing with shit. And like, especially, I think the one good thing is like, after last year, everyone's a bit kinder to each other and more empathetic.
Yeah.
That like, we're all dealing with stuff and life is not easy. And so I think that is good. But yeah, I just think if we can all practice a little more just vulnerability and empathy and kindness, like, just be a better world, like stronger friendships. And I saw something recently on Instagram, and I'll share it with you guys if you want to share it, where it was like rephrasing the things you're saying, where it's like instead of saying like, I'm so sorry, don't kill me, but like just saying like, hey, I'm having a bad day. Can we reschedule?
Right.
And how much better you'll feel about that, and how much more understanding the other person will be.
Totally.
Yeah. It's the same for like, if you're late to something, instead of saying like, I'm so sorry I'm late and making a million excuses, just saying like, thank you for waiting for me. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Game changer.
Holy
right?
shit.
Yeah. Or like, I am very guilty of if someone, because I, you know, I talk so much, when someone listens to me talk or explain a story or something that happened to me, I'm so guilty of afterwards being like, I'm sorry for talking so much, or I'm sorry for like wasting your time with my breath or something. And then I'm really trying to just rephrase that to like, thank you for listening to me, or thank you for being there for me, because that goes so much further. And then the person doesn't feel like, I don't know, they just feel like there's a gratitude happening. And
because when you say sorry, then it's like, not only did you talk to me for so long, but now you're apologizing and I have to say it's okay.
Yeah.
Saying, if you say thank you, then they feel appreciated. Right, yeah, exactly. Then they're like, wow, they value me. Like, this is something that they needed and they are glad. Like, I was here for
them. Right. People are innately selfish. Yeah. So it's like,
totally.
So like, if you say thank you for listening to me, then you're just hyping that person up to feel like they did a good thing.
Totally.
Yeah. It's like asking someone questions on a date. Like, you're making, like, everyone wants to talk about themselves on a date, but the thing to do if you want to make somebody else feel like they had a good time is to ask them questions about that.
It really is true. I have like a kind of, it's not a superficial question, but it's more of like a day-to-day social media question, which is, how have people been talking to you about like what's been really particularly hard about dating post COVID? Like, have you gotten any insight from people that you talk to on Instagram or otherwise?
Yeah. So that's a really good question, because a lot of people have talked about their post-pandemic struggles. And I think not even specifically about dating, but just about being social in general. Mm-hmm. And of course that includes dating, but that also includes like going to different events. Like, obviously there are so many weddings now, and going to those, it can feel like a lot. And I think slowly but surely people are getting back into it, but they're like, we all have so much social anxiety now, and some of us may have had it before, and it could be showing up even more in our lives now. But people who have never experienced any form of anxiety or social anxiety are definitely feeling it now. And that's new and that's scary. And that can be about going to a party or going to back to work and having to like make small talk with people. But it also definitely is coming up when it comes to dating, and people are like, I don't know what to talk about. Like, what do we talk about? And how do I navigate a conversation where I'm not talking about the pandemic the entire time? And it's really just, I think, a matter of starting somewhere, trying. Because I think the longer that we let ourselves say like, okay, like I'm still kind of getting back into it, like one, like maybe next month I'll go on a date, like the longer we put it off, the harder it's going to be and the more ahead everyone else is going to get. So I think it's really saying like, okay, I'm afraid to do this right now, but the worst thing that will happen is that it doesn't end in a happily ever after, but I'll get practice in. I will build. It's like getting stronger at the gym every day. Like the more you go, the easier it becomes, the more comfortable you get with the different equipment and stuff. And dating and even just being social right now is the same, where you go, you have conversations with people, you practice, and you can even end up going on like a literal practice date where you just go grab a drink or go for a walk with a friend and have the conversations that you would have on a date, or like start to notice if you don't want to go into a crowded restaurant, don't do that. Like go somewhere you know you're going to be comfortable with. You can still have a park date. You can still have like a date at a restaurant outside. Like you can still set yourself up to be in a comfortable position. But I really think it's about kind of inching your way back in, and slowly but surely you will feel a little more comfortable.
Love it. Yeah, that's great advice for people dating, but also scared to get back into the social scene, to be honest.
Yeah.
Can you let us know where you can find us? You?
You can find them at It's Fine, I'm Fine Pod. Yes, I am at Ilana Dunn everywhere. Some platforms have a period in between my name, some don't. And if you want to find Seeing Other People, and you should want to find Seeing Other People, I hope, at Seeing Other People, wherever you like to view your content. And yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. Also, obviously, go listen to Seeing Other People, specifically the episode Learning to Love Your Single Self with Sarah. It is actually amazing. I asked people today on the Seeing Other People Instagram story what one of their, like, if they had to pick a favorite recent episode, and so many responses.
No way.
Were that one. Sarah, I have not, in all of my episodes, gotten so much positive feedback as I have with that episode.
Oh my gosh.
That's so nice.
Thank you. I actually got dinner with Kerwin the other day, and she was like hyping me up. She was like, that episode was amazing. Like, she loves it. I can't believe it. You know what's so funny? The whole time that we were recording that episode, I was like, I'm so embarrassed for Ilana. Like, I am not making any sense. This is gibberish. Like,
that's how I felt all this past hour.
Oh my gosh, no. Literally, I was sitting there talking to you being like, this is so embarrassing. Like, she probably regrets asking me to come on. So like, that means a lot that you got good feedback. I'm really,
look, it goes back to what we said earlier with just like being vulnerable, and like people will respond to that, and people will appreciate
very
it.
Very true.
Totally. Once again, I say totally. Okay. Thank you so, so much for coming. Like,
thank
this was
you.
So fun. And you know, who knows, maybe in a couple months we'll have you back.
Yeah, definitely.
I would love it.
Thank you, Ilana.
Thank you. Love you. Bye. That was our episode with Miss Dunn.
We hope you enjoyed it. Actually, you know what's funny? I thought of Ilana Dunn today separately from the podcast because I was watching a TikTok and they were talking about Ray Dunn, which is like the home goods designer, which is, it just made me laugh. But anyway, we hope you enjoyed. Per usual, you can follow our podcast on Instagram at It's Fine, I'm Fine Pod. You can follow us on Twitter at It's Fine, I'm Fine PD. You can follow me on Instagram, TikTok at Liz Height, LizHeit. Sarah, where can people find you?
You can follow me at Sarah L. Sassone, that's N like Nancy, on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. What else do I have going on?
Twitch.
No, I wish. I would game all day. Something I did want to say is that Jonas Brothers concerts are very close, very near. Maybe not that close, but like in a month and a half. So, you know, just follow me because some great content's about to be coming up your way. And I'm very excited for that. And I have to book my flights to Denver still. So,
Yeah, we're going to Denver, God willing.
God willing.
Okay. Well, we hope everyone enjoyed that episode and has a good 2 weeks before we talk to you next time.
Yep. And with that, It's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Bye.